This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
This morning, I bring you greetings, as I always like to do, from your fellow Episcopalians in almost 100 congregations, schools, and special ministries from Jensen Beach, just to the north of us, all the way to Key West in the south. We speak many languages, we come from many countries, and we embody many cultures. But as we declared again at the beginning of this service, we are united in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I am especially happy to be with you today. And Kate is sorry not to be with us. Some of you know that she now works most weekends. At one point, we had a family where only one of us worked at the weekend. She gave up, finally, and started to work weekends, too, because she never saw me anyway. So her day job involves her in things at the weekends, but she's also working with one of our parishes to establish a new worshiping community, which is what she's doing today. But she sends her greetings and her encouragement. I'm particularly glad to be here today because since my last visit to you a year ago, you have faced some significant challenges, and these challenges are ongoing. I was supposed to leave on a long postponed sabbatical at the beginning of November, but I postponed it precisely so that I could be here with you today, because it is important for me to see you and to be with you and to be with your clergy and your vestry, and I'm delighted to be able to be here. But before I preach my three-hour sermon, I have some acknowledgments to make, and I hope that you will indulge me, because I do need to pay tribute to your rector and to your parish leadership for their hard work and dedication, especially in the face of undeserved personal attacks and criticism. Your rector and leadership have acted with the utmost integrity and responsibility, and it is important that I say this today and that you hear it from me. And it is also important that we take a moment now to thank Father Marty and the parish leadership for all of the hard work that they have been doing over these last months. I want to thank also Mother Carol Barron for joining this community to help us here, and of course to thank Mother Mary for all of her hard work and ministry here. They are an indispensable part of all that is going on. Also today, I don't know if she's in church or if she's busy elsewhere on the campus, I want to acknowledge Dee for her constancy, her hard work, and her support of her husband. When the clergy have hard things to do, and we often have hard things to do, and when the clergy come under fire, it is our spouses who bear a terrible burden. And I want to thank Dee and acknowledge her for her steadfastness throughout these last months. So please help me in acknowledging her. And I want to assure you all that as your life unfolds here and as your leadership does the work that it needs to do, they have the full support of me and of the bishop's staff in all that they are doing and may need to do. I would also like to congratulate the wonderful members of this community whom we are confirming and receiving, and thank you and your sponsors and those who have prepared you for today. I'm particularly glad that Gail is here. She went away, and apparently was dancing on some tables. This is the story I heard before Mass this morning. So I know it's true. And has come back to us trussed up like a Christmas turkey. But I want to assure you, Gail, that I'm putting you on the list of fallen women that I pray for. I don't know that it's going to do you any good, but we hope you're dancing on those tables again very soon. To the candidates and your sponsors, your commitment today is an important time for you, but it is also a tremendous encouragement to this parish family of which you are a part. And I thank you all for being willing to take this next step in your Christian lives. There is always, of course, more work to do, and we are emerging into a post-pandemic world with circumstances and pressures we cannot yet understand or predict. So please, please keep your parish clergy and leadership in your daily prayers, and please know that I pray for you and give thanks for you every day. Had I had to choose scripture readings for a Sunday in which we're confirming and welcoming new people into the church, I would not have chosen today's readings. And that's why I asked Father Marty to swap out the reading of from Malachi, which was another one of those readings that makes you want to sharpen the razor blades, and have instead the beautiful reading from Isaiah, and I'll tell you why I did that in just a minute. There are a lot of passages in the scriptures that talk about the end of time, when God will wrap up everything and ring down the curtain on the creation. Often these passages of the scriptures are couched in extremely dramatic and worrying language, as they are today, though they can be a fascinating read. Indeed, such passages have spawned multi-million dollar industries in our modern American religious culture. For some reason that I cannot understand, people will spend millions and millions of dollars in churches that scare them to death. I don't understand it. I've never tried it, but I don't understand it. People love this stuff. They love to be scared by politicians, they love to be scared by the clergy, they love to be scared by teachers, they love to be scared by everybody. And they'll pay you to have more of it. There is real money in scaring people to death, both in haunted houses and in the halls of political institutions and in churches. But if we dig beneath the surface just a little bit, both with our reading from the second letter to the Thessalonians, as well as with our gospel reading this morning, we see something else, actually, something a bit more reflective of what we are called to do in our Christian lives. For both Paul and Jesus are saying something of fundamental importance. They are saying that while God is Lord of creation, and all things are subject to God's rule and judgment, between now and the time when God will bring to birth the new heaven and the new earth, of which our reading from the prophet Isaiah spoke so beautifully, there is work to be done. There is work to be done. Yes, we believe in God, and yes, we believe that God is bringing the entire creation to that perfection for which it was originally created. But it is also the case that God has invited you and me to be co-creators with him of this new world. This is the invitation to work with God that we accept when we accept baptism into the church. And it is this invitation to work with God that we accept again today as we witness the confirmation and reception of our candidates and as together we reaffirm our baptismal covenant. So there are things to do. We do the work of the gospel not because we think we can earn our salvation. Our salvation is already accomplished. So we are free from worry about our eternal destiny to get on with being God's presence in the world now. We do the work of the gospel because we have been called by God into this divine human partnership that elevates everything that we do to a different plane and invests it with an eternal significance. When we do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God, as the prophet Micah exhorts us, and when we do all of those things that are associated with the life of God that we know, we are if that's a call from God, make sure it isn't a collect call. Most of you won't know what that is, of course, anymore. When we do all of those things that are associated with the life of God that we know, we are participating in God's own divine activity, and we are changing eternity. Now, just because we know that our salvation has been accomplished, Paul reminds us in his reading today, we do not simply sit back and wait for God to show up at the end of the story and take care of everything and everybody, tea and champagne and cake for all. There is still a good deal of the story of the divine human relationship to write, and the story of each person of faith in this church this morning is an integral part of that greater eternal story, and we are therefore called to help write that story. A great rabbi used to say that there's one book that is missing from the scriptures, and that is the book of the scriptures of each one of our lives, which we are called to write throughout our lifetime. Jesus reminds us this morning how easy it is to get distracted from that real work like the work represented in the mission trips that have been so much a part of the life of this congregation and which we hope you can one day resume. Real work like the Palenka food pantry. Real work like the Kairos prison ministry. Real work like your support and participation of the feeding ministry at Holy Redeemer in Lake Worth. Real work, like the volunteering and the other helping work that many of you do away from this congregation as a part of your lives in the wider community. Real work, like ensuring that the elderly or the sick or those who live alone are not on their own. As individuals, as communities of faith, as cities and towns, even as a nation, our life can be cast in a new key in an instant. All of the disturbing things that Jesus talks about in our gospel reading and more besides happen all the time. And yes, they are often crushing, world-changing events. But he reminds us that nothing that does or can happen is the final word for us. Paul and Jesus are telling us today that we have deeper roots, a firmer anchor, a tighter grip on reality, and in time, that's God again. Persistent too. It's all right. This is all part of our new reality, isn't it, Raining? Paul and Jesus are telling us that we have deeper roots, a firmer anchor, a tighter grip on reality, and in times of danger or distraction and the cacophony of voices, we can still hear the clear note of God's voice if we listen. And that is why we return here to this altar day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year, so that we may hear the voice of God clearly. It is the prophet Isaiah in our first reading this morning who gives us that clear note to hold on to. We could not have a more stunning, compelling vision of the dream of God for us than his extraordinary declaration of the new heaven and the new earth. Where Paul and Jesus tell us to keep working, whatever the circumstances, Isaiah reminds us that we shall not labor in vain, and the former things will not be remembered. It is the constant resonance of the scriptures that God will restore all creation to the original purpose for which God first created us, and Isaiah reminds us of that this morning. Even if you don't take the bulletin home, take that insert home. It is one of the great encouraging passages of the scripture to which we can come back again and again. This is where our hope lies in the midst of all the challenges of our lives. It is to remind us of this hope that this church building and this church community exist. And when we forget what our hope is, when life seems to be pressing too hard and the future seems bleak and the work too difficult, this is where we return, to this altar where God always shows up. Let us never forget the words that Isaiah says about the new creation. So important was this vision that Isaiah says it twice in slightly different words, but to the same effect. Today, you'll remember, he says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But a few chapters earlier, he gives us very similar words. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. When you reread these words later today or perhaps this next week, instead of reading the words wolf and lamb and lion and calf and fatling, substitute the words of people or groups or nations who are currently in conflict and who will in the last day find their reconciliation. Sometimes it's helpful for us to make these words more concrete by substituting those situations and people whom we know. May you go from strength to strength in this community of faith here at St. Joseph's. And may you always be confident in the work you are doing in partnership with the living God to bring to birth here in this very special place, in this remarkable community, a glimpse of the new heaven and the new earth that is our inheritance in God's embrace of eternal love. Amen. Amen.